WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. Hope your day is starting off well. Hope your weekend went well. Mine was pretty good. I want to thank everybody that came out to Hunger Heroes Food Drop on Saturday and donated food. It was quite the turnout considering the weather wasn't 100%, you know, settled. Sometimes when it's raining, you've got a bunch of people that show up with no problem just staying in the car and having us get the stuff out of the car. And of course, when it's nice and sunny, people will come out. But then, you know, when you're in that in-between, you always hope people will still come out. And especially those who, you know, didn't get something ahead of time, still get out and walk into the store. We got a lot of folks that went into the store and bought stuff. So thank you all for coming out. We'll be able to keep those kids fed during school vacation week. They're going to make 1,000 bags of healthy snacks and lunch foods for school kids. They'll do that next Saturday. So the United Way will gather up all its volunteers next Saturday and start packaging all those. And then they'll spend the week distributing them out to the schools. And then the schools give them from there to the kids that they know that need them. So thank you to all of you who helped out with that. And the rain held off. So that was nice too. Also, at the same time, the protest was happening in front of the Dartmouth Mall. The hands-off protest that you just heard Mike Roberts talking about, they were happening all over the country. There was one in Dartmouth right in front of the Dartmouth Mall. So, and they've done other standouts in that space before. It's right at the intersection there of Fonts Corner Road and State Road, across from Friendly's. So usually I think some people gather on one side of the sidewalk and some gather on the other, or they might gather on the side. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the place now, but it used to be the roast beef place and a Dunkin' before that. Sometimes people will be on that side and people will be on the opposite side of Fonts Corner Road. But I know that it was well attended because the people were all coming and parking in the mall parking lot and people were walking up to us under the tent thinking that we were part of it. He said, no, but the cost of admission to protest is go donate some food, of course. We're just teasing. But a few folks did go inside and grab something and donate it once they found out it was a food drive. I was joking with everybody. I was like, you know, anybody got a megaphone? I'll go down there and stand on one side of the street and say, they're cutting funding for kids to have food in schools. Go donate some food and we can keep the kids fed. And then get over to the other side and say, let's not depend on taxpayers to feed the kids. Go make a donation so we don't have to, you know, increase the funding. I figured, you know, if you play both sides, maybe you'll get more food donations. But nobody had a megaphone. And I didn't walk down there I didn't get into it. I walked down and take a look just to see. So when people came up to us at the table, I could tell them where to go. Because people kept coming up to us and I said, I don't know, it sounds like it's down there. I would guess over at the corner of Fonts Corner and State Road, but I wasn't certain. Just kind of point people in that direction and figure they'd find it. But at one point I said, well, I'm going to go take a walk over there and see exactly where to direct people. And that was pretty early on. That was like around 11 a.m. And there was already good crowd formed. And I was going to go walk through, and everybody was like, oh, go walk through, take some pictures and video and get a story out of it. And I was like, no. Here I am in WBSM gear. I go down there. You've got one side that sees the WBSM gear and thinks, oh, this guy's pro-Trump. But then the other side, who might you know, actually ask, oh, what's your name? Oh, Tim. Oh, no. And then you know that I'm anti-Trump. And then both sides expect you to stand over there with them. And I don't get involved in that stuff. I try to stay. When they had the immigration rally here in Fairhaven last year, I just happened to be driving through and said, well, I'll stop by and take some photos. I knew that Michael Rock was writing an article about it. And I said, I'll get you some photos since I'm right here. And I just kind of hung back and walked around both sides taking some photographs. And like everybody was expecting me to join their sides. Like, no, I'm just here to document it. So I just, you know, keep my distance. Plus, that's not what we were there for. We were there for collecting food for the kids. But looked like it was well attended. I didn't spend enough time down there to kind of get a head count. But the reporting that I've seen online from New Bedford Light and others is that it was in the hundreds, so that's good. It's good that that many people on an uncertain weather day still went out and had their voices heard, no matter which side they came down on. And, you know, the conversation comes then about, well, what does this do? Like, how much are you going to change people's minds by standing on a street corner and holding up signs and chanting things and whatever else you might be doing? And I think it's also a release for people. It's good for them to get with folks who think like-minded. Maybe they're not surrounded by that. Maybe they're surrounded with people, you know, one way or the other that view things differently than them. So there's some camaraderie in that. I think it also gets out all the frustrations that you have pent up. It gets those out in a much more healthier way than, say, going online and getting into arguments with people. And at the very least, at least you got outside and got some fresh air, right? And I think there's a lot of people who realize that doing this might not change someone's mind. But it might certainly get them thinking about the gravity of things. So, for example, you know, they've had repeated Free Karen Reed standouts. And really, that's not going to do anything because it's a jury that's ultimately going to make that decision. But does it spark people to say, well, you know, we want better scrutiny of the police department? Does it spark people to say, you know, we want to have, you know, we want to stand up for those who might be getting railroaded by the justice system, if that's what you believe. You know, it makes you think about the bigger picture, even though you might not be able to influence that one particular case, although you do influence that case because the more of those you have, the harder it becomes to find jurors who have not heard of the case and or who can be impartial. And while it's been a struggle, I guess it seems like it's going faster than I thought that it would. So, you know, just as a side note, I think, you know, that's a hard thing to do when you've had a trial that has been headlines for quite a while. The trial itself, at least almost a year here in Massachusetts, and be able to find, let alone in that county, let alone find people who could be impartial. But anyway, the folks who were down there, at least all that I could see, were, you know, obeying the laws, obeying the rules, staying out of the road. It did back up traffic, but traffic is, you know, pretty busy over there on a Saturday anyway. And I think people were just like naturally slowing down to honk, to wave, to yell things, to whatever it might have been. So there was a bit of a traffic slowdown. I know because I left the mall and I went over to Dash to drop off some laundry. I stopped at a place to have a little lunch first. I'd tell you about it, but I'm going to actually write about it, I think, because it was such a unique meal. But if you were there, I'd be interested in getting your take. You know, no matter which side you were on, get your take of what you thought. 508-996-0500. Later on this morning, we'll be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. For the first time in weeks, a full uninterrupted hour with the City Council President. Both times my fault. At first, I postponed it because, actually canceled the appearance because of the opportunity that popped up to broadcast from the train. And then last week, delaying the start a little bit because we had the opportunity to have the Boston Globe spotlight editor on. You know what? I didn't listen to Mayor Mitchell's appearance with Chris as it happened last week because I think I was making all the stuff I needed to make to launch the Money Talks promotion. And we will have your Money Talks codes beginning at 8 a.m. this morning. Thanks to Long Moving and Storage for sponsoring that. But I didn't get to listen to the mayor live. And then usually on Sundays, I catalog all of the guest appearances for the week on all the shows. And so I was listening back to Mayor Mitchell with Chris, and I heard him talking about the Spotlight editor's interview here on the show. And Mayor Mitchell seemed pretty adamant that there's not going to be any further Spotlight stories on this issue on other cities as was discussed. He seemed pretty adamant about that. Now, I don't know if he knows something that I don't know. I didn't really appreciate him saying that it seemed like I fell for what the editor said. I didn't have any reason to doubt that the editor of the Spotlight team was lying to me about the next project that they were working on. So I do take exception to the mayor's language there. I never said the mayor got duped by Chief Oliveira. I never said he fell for Chief Oliveira when other people were saying the same thing. But anyway, the way that it was described was that this was a and this is the way that they wrote about it too. And maybe the mayor just didn't read every little bit about the way that this Spotlight investigation was conducted. But this was not designed to be a dive into New Bedford. It was designed to be a dive into the use of criminal informants in Massachusetts. And it just so happened that New Bedford came into focus. Then what happens is you write this story and you write this series, and now you get people from Lowell or Worcester or Lawrence or other cities, Fall River, other places that say, hey, you did that series on New Bedford. You should look into this stuff that's been going on here. And then they get the tips that they need to create the next one. But there's still the overarching point of this was still the use of criminal informants. And they've still got all kinds of research and data on that that they didn't utilize in this story. There was bits and pieces of it here and there, but they've still held back on that, which is what was described to me by Brendan McCarthy and also what the Globe's, both he and the Globe team referenced that they were working still on this series before his appearance with me. So I have no doubt that they're working on more parts of it. And those more parts might not focus on a particular city, but might focus on the use of criminal informants overall. But this was not done to malign New Bedford. This wasn't like, hey, let's see what dirt we can dig up on New Bedford because that'd be fun to write about. And it came about because of this larger investigation. They didn't take down, Spotlight didn't take down the Catholic Church by focusing on one parish. Now, what might happen behind the scenes? You know, they might have wanted to have New Bedford and then have something else ready to go. And maybe, you know, the editors of the paper overall said, well, we got to roll something out. You guys have been spending a year on this. But I firmly do believe that they're not done digging into this topic. Because they barely scratch the surface of what the issue is in Massachusetts by just focusing on one police department. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We'll take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back. And of course, don't take that to mean that the sun is coming out. It is definitely not. As I'm looking out the window, at least I can see it is getting a little bit lighter out. But the sun is definitely not coming out. I don't think it's coming out much at all today. But just wanted to hear a little George Harrison singing there this morning. So there you go. All right, we're going to go to the newsroom now and get all of the top stories of the day from Mike Robertson. On the other side, we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. Remember, the first Money Talks code of the day is coming your way. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have a code every hour between 8 and 5. And every time it's your chance to win $10,000. You just have to enter the code at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. All the details are right there in both places. You can just click on Money Talks and read more about it and see the spot to enter in all those codes. So I know a lot of you were playing last week. And I think we're only going to get more and more folks on board as we go along, because as we get closer and deeper into the contest, I should say, we're going to have your $10,000 Thursdays coming up. But don't let that stop you from entering those codes in each and every day. And it's brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. Right now, though, Mike's going to give us an update on everything, and then we can talk about it on the other side.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The NYPD is investigating a police-involved shooting in Brooklyn, triggered by a man who reportedly slashed four children with a meat cleaver.
Police say the man, believed to be an uncle, went on a bloody rampage at about 10 Sunday morning inside the Bensonhurst home on 84th Street, where he lived with the children. Their mother wasn't home at the time. Cops say he used a meat cleaver to slash and stab the kids, ranging in age from 8 to 16. An injured girl, an 11-year-old, managed to call 911. When police arrived, they found the man in a closet with the cleaver and a knife. When he refused to drop his weapons, cops shot him. He's in critical condition, but the children are expected to survive. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
A new study shows gender is a large factor in excessive and problematic smartphone use. Young females are more likely to experience high social anxiety. Another finding of the study found gender is tied to time spent using smartphone and the fear of being judged negatively by others online. A Seattle woman sentenced to jail for getting too close to Old Faithful. Federal prosecutors say Angela Flaherty walked off the boardwalk 10 feet of the geyser. Another visitor at the park recorded her on video. She was sentenced to 7 days in jail and a $40 fine. A suspected carjacker was shot and killed by police on Saturday.
Police responded to a carjacking just after noon Saturday in Puyallup on Pacific Avenue South. The suspect crashed and carjacked another vehicle. Officers followed the suspect into Tacoma and then back to Puyallup, where spike strips were used and the suspect stopped on Valley Avenue. Police say the suspect was armed with a knife. There was a confrontation with officers and the suspect was fatally shot. The investigation is ongoing. I'm Brad Ford.
Cassie Ventura plans to testify against disgraced music mogul Diddy during his upcoming sex trafficking trial in New York. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
Diddy's 38-year-old ex says she'll testify and it won't be anonymous. TMZ broke the news on Sunday saying victim one is prepared to testify under her own name during Diddy's upcoming trial. Cassie Ventura is the person known to be victim one. Diddy's trial is set to begin on May 5th in Brooklyn. The 55-year-old music industry pioneer has pleaded not guilty to all charges, including sex trafficking, racketeering conspiracy, and transportation to engage in prostitution. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Pope Francis has made his first public appearance since his discharge from the hospital 2 weeks ago. More from Lisa Carton.
Pope Francis attended the Jubilee Mass for the sick, entering St. Peter's Square at the Vatican in a wheelchair. The 88-year-old pontiff gave his blessing to the faithful as the celebrant. Pope Francis told the crowd, quote, "Have a good Sunday, everyone. Thank you so much." A text released by the Vatican said Francis is praying for doctors, nurses, and health workers who are not always helped to work in adequate conditions and sometimes even victims of aggression. The pontiff's voice sounded stronger than when he addressed well-wishers outside of Gemelli Hospital on the day of his release, March 23rd, after a five-week hospital stay. I'm Lisa Carton.
Actor Jay North, who played Dennis Mitchell in the 1960s sitcom Dennis the Menace, has died at 73. North had been fighting cancer for a number of years, passing away at his home in Florida yesterday. North also appeared on other shows, including The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Lassie, General Hospital, and The Simpsons.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics crushed the Wizards 124-90. The C's take on the Knicks tomorrow. Red Sox were on fire. They beat the Cardinals 18-7. And the Bruins lost to the Sabres 6-3.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
This morning, we'll see tons of clouds and rain that will transition to showers as we go into the afternoon. We are expecting temperatures to be much cooler than average, topping out near 42. For tonight, we'll do one more round of rain just after midnight. That should end, and we will clear pre-dawn, and that's going to make way for a mostly sunny Tuesday. It will still be cooler than average at 47, but warmer than what we're going to see today. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
Welcome back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And let's see, make sure I get the app open here. Participation trophy wife called me out on playing Here Comes the Sun. Lies, radio boy, all lies. That is true. I was just trying to, you know, manifest some sunny vibes our way. So, again, I want to thank everybody that came out Saturday for Hunger Heroes. I heard it was a pretty good turnout for the night before's event at for Mercy Meals and More at the United Fishermen's Club, the big comedy night fundraiser. I heard that they packed the place. So, thank you everybody that came out for that as well. I haven't heard about who won the Cyndi Lauper tickets. I know it wasn't Sketty because she was the one that told me she didn't win. So that should be a great show. Cyndi Lauper's final Boston area performance. We're going to have tickets to give away to that coming up in the future. And congratulations to all of our Kylie Minogue winners last week. Tim's tickets brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, which also had a nice turnout on Friday for the wine tasting and tattoo featuring. They weren't tattooing people there, but you could sign up for these special flash design tattoos. And I thought about it. I don't have any tattoos, and I thought about it. And one of the tattoo designs was the Busty Seagull, and the other was the Paul Revere sign. And I figured I couldn't decide which one of those I would get, but I was like, either one you get, like then you go somewhere on vacation, you take your shirt off, and not that I take my shirt off places yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. But you know, you take your shirt off to go to the beach or in the pool, and somebody's like, "Oh, what's that tattoo all about? Seagull with breasts?" Yeah, well, I'm from New Bedford. Hold on, let me tell you. So I thought that either one of those would have been a great design, but I think I'm going to get something a little bit more ghosty for my first one. So this week, we're going to have a couple of interesting guests. On Wednesday, we're going to be joined by most likely Rosemary Gill, but if not, someone else from the Zeiterion to talk about some of the updates of what's going on with the renovation over there. They've been keeping us abreast of everything that's going on so that we can know what the progress is, but also get excited for all the things we'll be able to do with the Zeiterion. And so we'll be joined on Wednesday, probably by Rosemary. And then on Friday, we're going to have, for Fun Friday, we're going to have a special guest with us, I believe in studio. Singer-songwriter Grace Morrison will be with us. She has a new album coming out. And it's very maritime-focused. Sea shanties and other similar songs. And she let me hear the first single. And I thought it was the coolest thing. I don't want to give too much away, but we'll play it on Friday. She might even play it here. I don't know what her plan is, but we'll have more details for that on Friday. It is a song with a twist. I'll just say that. And I've known Grace for a long time, but I don't think I've ever actually interviewed her. I can't recall. I know she's been on the station before, but I don't think I've ever interviewed her. But I think I've known her since, I don't think since high school, because I think she's too much younger than me to have been in school at the same time. I believe she's my youngest sister's age. So I don't know when I first met her, but I've known her for a long time. I can remember her singing backup for Eddie Money when he came and performed at the Seaport Inn for Rock for Christmas. She was the Ronnie Spector and Take Me Home Tonight. That was a long time ago. But anyway, I figured for Fun Friday, that would be a nice fun thing to do. And we'll have a music-related Fun Friday question this week as well. Maybe one specific to local music, so you can start working your brain about that. I think that would be a good direction to take the Fun Friday question. And of course, if you ever have any suggestions for Fun Friday, you can always send me an email, tim@wbsm.com, or send me an app chat message on the WBSM app. It seems to me like the audience is liking it. They like taking a break from the more serious stuff. We can still talk about the more serious stuff if there's things to discuss on Friday, but it's also a good way to kind of work our way back into work our way out of the weekend into the weekend. And I like to take things pretty slow on Mondays, too, for that same reason. You know, working our way back into the week. Unfortunately, there's a lot of news that happens over the weekend that we then have to come in and discuss that isn't always necessarily good. I'm sure some folks out there want to talk about the stock market. I'm sure some folks out there want to talk about the hit that they've taken on their 401k, but I will remind you, and I'm in no way defending the tariffs or the Trump administration policies, because I don't agree with them, but I will say, you know, the market is based on reactions, and that's what your 401k is. It's the market. It's, you know, most people's are tied into the stock market. And so what happens is you get these reactions to things and then things smooth out. I mean, I did enough shows with Jose Matos over the years and also with Manny Resendiz here on Money Mondays to know that these things are going to happen. The market reacts to news and then things settle down and then things kind of even out. And this might have happened a dozen times, maybe not as drastic, but you've had these ebbs and flows, these dips and rises that you didn't pay attention to because you didn't go and check based on what you were hearing on social media or what you were hearing on the news. So you left it alone. And honestly, you know, Jose always said that's kind of the best policy when bad news hits. Don't go and look. Because you know that the bad news is going to have an effect on it. Don't go and look. Wait a couple weeks and then go check and see how things are. And then you can see what happened over that time. And then you're checking in at a point where you're back to closer to what you're hoping for than the shock of what's actually there. So again, you know, don't panic. Those who have the means to go in and buy more stock love these kind of dips because then they get in there and get stuff on the cheap. And they do that for a reason. They know because it's going to come back up. But prolonged dips, if this happens not in reaction, but in more as the result of policies, well, then you start heading into a recession. So if, you know, you wait a couple of weeks and that's the direction that we're headed, the numbers still might not be any better. But you don't have to go and check just because there's bad news in the media and you want to go and see how much it affected you. That'll just drive you crazy. There were a lot of people that I saw, you know, talking about how, you know, I lost this much, I lost this much, I lost this much. Well, let's see, though, how much of that you gain back and how long that takes. Because you were, you know, it comes with risk, especially when you are going with high risk investments. That's something that Jose and I talked about the second to last time that I popped in and filled in for Sierra. We talked about having high risk. And, you know, if you started later or if you haven't put away enough or if you just want to increase what you'll have in retirement, you get aggressive with it. And being aggressive means you take that risk of greater loss. But again, this isn't just a, you know, U.S. market dip. This is a worldwide market dip. So that's also why people are concerned, because that means it could be more prolonged than just a reaction to news. But again, don't rush to check it. Wait a couple of days, then see where it's at. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. Everybody, Wang Chung tonight. Well, you don't have to Wang Chung. But if you do Wang Chung, you know, have fun when you Wang Chung. It's been almost 40 years. I still don't know exactly what the process of Wang Chunging is, but I just know I like Wang Chung's music. 508-996-0500. We got a suggestion for an upcoming Fun Friday question. Dennis says, how about a Fun Friday, the most embarrassing thing that happened to a person? Well, we did have a question a couple weeks ago I don't think it was for Fun Friday, but I think it was for National Awkward Moments Day. I asked people to share their most awkward moment. But I think asking somebody the most embarrassing thing that happened to them, I'm going to get what's called secondhand embarrassment. And that's a real thing. I actually feel that more than I feel embarrassment for myself. You know, if I do something stupid, like that's on me. That's on me. But I feel so bad when somebody else does something embarrassing. Like, oh man, no, you're embarrassing yourself right now. You know, and there's become a whole style of comedy based on that. You know, that cringe factor. Seinfeld kind of gave birth to that, and then Curb Your Enthusiasm took it up a notch. You know, you watch that show because you get secondhand embarrassment for what the people in that show go through. But then Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave brought that to another level. Thanks to Phil Devitt for recommending that show to me. Like, just, you watch it and you're like, how can somebody be this stupid, or how can somebody be this oblivious? And you feel embarrassed for them. But you know, secondhand embarrassment. Like when you see somebody making a fool of themselves and you're like, oh, I like this person. I really don't want them to be embarrassing themselves like this. And it's a real thing. So maybe stories of embarrassment and secondhand embarrassment. Just, you know, without naming any names. But we'll put that on the roster for an upcoming Fun Friday. Although I don't think that'd be very fun for us to have to go through some of those embarrassing moments and broadcasting them to the radio public. All right, we're going to take our final break here of the hour. When we come back, we'll have the news for you, the ABC News and the South Coast News with Mike. And then we will have the entire hour, you and I, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, City Council President Shane Berger will be with us. But right now, I got to get this last break in before the end of the hour. Because you will not believe your eyes. And you won't believe your ears either. Because, you know, we're radio. We're an auditory medium. Anyway, we're going to be taking a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508. 508-